Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
On this week's Big Tech Show, you might not think it could happen to you, but our guest this week explains how a significant number of Irish people may be falling victim to romance frauds online.
Victims can feel a misplaced sense of shame. People can blame themselves. They feel embarrassed, and so they don't want to tell family, friends. They don't want to report it to the police. In some cases, of course, the victims are already in relationships. They're married. They have an extra reason to keep that quiet.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
It was a very busy football championship weekend with every team in action across the Sam Maguire competition and the Tailteann Cup. But does bigger necessarily mean better? Many people have questioned the new football format and whether it is delivering enough jeopardy. That is one of the many talking points we will dig into on today's episode of the Throw-In Football Show.
It's just not good for the championship. The situation where you can have four games and win none of them, and you're still in the championship. For instance, Mayo could win the All-Ireland. And I mean, Mayo, in fairness, Mayo and Galway are the only two on full points so far, but they could win the All-Ireland with seven games. Another team could have four games, win none, still in the championship, and come back and win. And it just doesn't look right to me, I have to say.
Will Slattery here with you, and I'm delighted to be joined by Martin Brettney and Frank Roach for our chat today. And Martin, you were writing about the new football format in the Irish Independent last week. Some interesting points you raised. A couple of them were, I suppose, you know, playing 24 matches just to eliminate four teams ahead of the preliminary quarterfinals. The fact that maybe Kildare or Sligo, one of them could progress to those preliminary quarterfinals despite not winning any of their round robin games and losing their final provincial championship game. So four matches in a championship without a victory, still not seeing a team eliminated. You know, what have you made of the first two rounds of matches, you know, ahead of the final round next week, and whether you think the format is working?
Well, you mentioned jeopardy earlier on there, Will, and there's little enough jeopardy in what we've seen so far. I mean, as you look at the tables, most of them are shaping up pretty much as we would have expected, certainly in terms of the teams that will exit. I suppose they own, everyone would have said that Louth would go, probably that Westmeath would go, that Clare and Sligo would be the four to not qualify. Now, Sligo are still in with a chance because, albeit a small chance, I presume, they won't beat Dublin, obviously, but Kildare and themselves could end up on a point each, so then it will come down to scoring difference. And at the moment, Kildare -9, Sligo -10. So that's the only... So you've had all these games, and really, for what? We knew in advance virtually all of the teams that would come through to the knockout stages. And 24 games to get rid of four is just too many, I think. And I think it demeans the championship. I really do, that there's so many. And as I say, you knew who was almost certainly going to go. There have been no real shocks. I suppose Sligo drawing with Kildare, it was common in Dublin, but that was at the other end of the table, and obviously they'll both go through. But just seeing too many teams qualify. I know why they did it, i.e. to avoid perhaps dead rubbers in the last round. And There won't be any, with the exception perhaps of, well, Clare playing Derry. It's dead for Clare. They're out of it. Derry won't want to top that group, so it'll be still live for them. But all the other groups are live in terms of something to play for every team. But is that enough reason to play 24 games to get rid of four? Not in my opinion.
Frank, what do you think? Do you think it demeans the championship? Would you agree with Martin there?
I don't know if I'd go quite that strong, but it is quite clearly an imperfect system. And their problem was that the Super 8s, when we had that, 4 and 5 years ago, was equally a very imperfect system. And you had several dead rubbers. I remember being at one up in Omagh, where Jim Gavin basically played almost an entirely new team, safe in the knowledge that they'd be playing an All-Ireland semi-final a week later. But I mean, I was up in Clonus yesterday, and unlike lots of the matches that we've seen maybe in the last few weeks, it was actually very entertaining, free-flowing between two teams who probably, well, one of them definitely won't win North Ireland because Clare are gone now, and Monaghan probably won't win either. But it was a weird scenario afterwards. I mean, Monaghan's manager, Vinnie Corey, was there wondering, well, you know, we've got to play Donegal now in a couple of weeks. And of course, we're going to try to win it because you want to keep momentum, and it is championship. what is a championship, because Monaghan, Derry and Donegal are all now true. They know they're advancing from that group. So in a way, it hasn't fully eradicated the dead rubbers there either. You know, in at least in theory, in the three other groups, everyone is still in with a chance. But it is, as Martin says, it's just an awful lot of matches played to get rid of four teams. And then we're going to just have this mad run, blitz of matches for a month to basically decide who's going to win the All-Ireland.
Yeah, Martin, when you've watched the first two rounds, do these questions you have around the format, do you think it's been manifesting itself in, I suppose, the intensity of the games? Or like when you watch some of these matches, have you felt that it's maybe a pitch below what you'd expect when it's actually meant to be a full-blooded championship game with maybe the loser being eliminated?
Yeah, I think, Will, you're going to think that anyway, because you know that if the team loses, that they're not out of it. But so it's hard to actually judge that angle of it, but it's a factor. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you see, Frank mentioned the Super 8s before. I was never a great fan of these round robins, and certainly not at that late stage of the championship. As far as I'm concerned, a team should get two chances. And there was a lot to be said for the qualifiers. Maybe the basis of which they were found, i.e. through the provincial championships and all the imperfections and imbalances that apply there. But I think if you get two chances in the championship, if you lose twice, you should be gone. And that's where that's not the situation here. And the difficulty with it is everybody's the championship hasn't started yet. And then we're into what now, the first week in June, or by the time the round robin finishes, it'll be the 18th of June, and the All-Ireland final is, what, 6 weeks later. And it'll be this, as Frank said, this mad bash, teams out, preliminary quarterfinals, quarterfinals, semifinals, and then all over. I was surprised, I have to say, that they went for this system of four fours as they did, because the Super 8 did show up flaws, and just amending it to make it three out of four. On one hand, it made it look better, but on the other hand, it just made it too easy for all the big counties to get through. I mean, there won't be anybody missing there that you'd say would any surprise whatsoever. And that's the difficulty with this. And I think it's got to be reviewed. It probably won't, but I think it should be reviewed in light of what we've seen so far, and in light of it's just not good for the championship. The situation where you can have four games and win none of them, and you're still in the championship. For instance, Mayo could win the All-Ireland. And I mean, Mayo, in fairness, Mayo and Galway are the only two on full points so far. But they could win the All-Ireland with seven games, as if they were to proceed on top of the group, which they... So they could win it with seven. But another team could have four games, win none, still in the championship, and come back and win it. It just doesn't look right to me, I have to say.
Frank, what would you say the public kind of buy-in has been across the opening rounds? Just even looking at some of the attendance figures have been maybe a bit disappointing. Kildare, Dublin, I think was less than 10,000 in Nolan Park. And I know it was a venue not in either of the counties, but I think people would have been hopeful that would attract a bit more. Derry, Donegal yesterday, I don't think had a massive crowd either compared to maybe their meeting in the Ulster final the previous year. Like, have the public maybe taken a similar view that the real action hasn't really started yet, and maybe they're kind of eyeing up bigger matches to come in a couple of weeks' time for their counties instead?
I think they have, but in fairness, I think in lots of ways attendance figures at matches where it's not all or nothing have been coming down for several years. Do you know, I mean, you look at how the Leinster final attendance graph has gone over the last 15 years, and when there was a level of jeopardy when Dublin weren't guaranteed to win it, the Dubs were filling out Croke Park every day, even for Leinster semi-finals. You don't see that anymore. You know, we're down to whatever it was it 30,000? Even like, say, the double header there a week ago in Croke Park, where Dublin were playing Roscommon and the Dublin Hurlers were playing Galway, it was 30,000, and there wasn't 30,000 in there at any one time, you can be sure. So I think the attendance figures are quite telling. If you consider that Mayo, for most home league matches, attract attendances usually closer to 15,000. And I think the figure yesterday was it somewhere around about 11,000. Now, maybe half of them decided it's a lovely sunny day, we know Mayo are going to get through the group here, let's all go to the beach instead. I think there probably is an element of that. It wasn't the Mayo v. Louth was probably viewed as not quite as an attractive fixture as, for argument's sake, Kerry coming to Castlebar on a Saturday night, or the Dubs coming to Castlebar, you know. So there definitely is an element of that.
There's also an element, I think, Frank, of all these games. I mean, it's costly business if you're and teams and players, the public are becoming more picky in what they do. I mean, if you were to attend all the three games and then still in the championship, and particularly now with the cost of everything, I think that's probably a factor as well, that people are being a bit choosy about what they how and where and when they'll spend their money on it.
Well, people go on about the ticket prices, but ticket prices are probably you know, they're well less than 50% of your outlay on a championship Sunday. And if you've got a family of four or five looking to go, I mean, you're going to be well over 200 euros by the end of the day. So you will pick and choose if you're facing seven or eight championship dates in the summer.
And that's the point. I mean, you take Louth and Mayo yesterday. I mean, Mayo supporters will probably say, well, we're going to win this. I mean, Louth are a Division II team, and they nearly got caught, but they did win. And it's a hell of a haul across from Louth to Castlebar. And again, with probably no, they wouldn't possibly have anticipated how close it would be. But That is a factor, and people are being choosy. But I suppose that, given all of that, the attendances have been quite reasonable. Now, I suppose Dublin v Kildare was disappointing, but although it was a strange venue for Kildare to pick, though, what brought them down to Kilkenny, I don't know. I would have thought Port Leash would have been a far better option for them. I don't know what that was about. The only people who benefited there was obviously Kilkenny County Board will get some rent money for renting out Norland Park and. They don't even have a football team, so it's win-win for Kilkenny. But I would have thought Port Leash would have been, and particularly in light of all the talk about the advantage Dublin playing in Croke Park, I'm not sure that was the most judicious intervention either, because you should only say that, I think, when you don't have to play the Dubs again that year.
In defence of Glenn Ryan, he didn't know that 2 days later, I think the Dubs were going to be drawn against Kildare. Maybe he might have bitten his lip otherwise, but it was, Norland Park was a very unusual, very neutral venue for a home Kildare game.
And Frank, in terms of just the on-field stuff then, you know, the Dublin Kildare game we might go to first, you know, after the draw against Roscommon, people had a lot of more kind of questions about Dublin's form line. They obviously had a pretty comprehensive victory over Kildare. Were they much improved in your opinion?
They were definitely improved based on the Roscommon game. And it was interesting to note that, you know, the in-form forwards on the evening were two of the less heralded Dublin players, you know, guys who've been in the squad for a number of years and have slowly been establishing themselves or sometimes coming in and out of the team. Sean Buckler's, in fairness to him, has probably been Dublin's best forward, I would say, this season so far. He was good. Colly Baskell had a really, you know, influential shift, dynamic. I think he scored 5 points from play. That was very encouraging. Some very good turnovers, I thought, by some of the younger Dublin defenders as well on the night. My only caveat, and this is nothing against Dublin, is that Kildare in the second half, I thought, were terrible. And we're not just talking about maybe the old failings of shooting poor wide, you know, that sapped the confidence from a team, but some of the unforced turnovers, you know, sloppy hand passes, balls coming out of defence that they lost. When the game was still relatively close, it might have been 3 or 4 points in it. Do you know, they were really, really terrible for a team, you know, with pretensions of qualifying for the knockout stages. And I mean, I was intrigued by Glenn Ryan's post-match comments. I mean, he sounded like a man who was utterly deflated. I think he used the word bewildered. You know, and this was coming on top of the game in Sligo that I was at a couple of weeks before that, where he was equally deflated by the performance that day. So you've got to take it in context. Dublin definitely were better. The step up came from several of their younger players, but it was against a Kildare team that just did not perform, especially in the second half. So, you know, I mean, no more than every other heavyweight contender out there, the jury is still a little bit out on Dublin.
Yeah, Martin, it's a funny one. Like, there doesn't seem to be any team, maybe Galway, to be fair, have had a really strong year, but that is kind of massively ahead of the pack. As Frank said, every kind of contender has still probably a few questions to answer, including Dublin.
The reason for that is I think that none of them are were at any stage for the last while, since Dublin were on their palm, so to speak, that none of them are that far ahead of each other or that far behind of the top three or four. I mean, Galway and Mayo are the only two teams who have full points. But no, there's nothing. And all that, like you take Galway's group, if they were to lose to Armagh next weekend and Tyrone win, then it's three of them are 4 points. And somebody goes, so Tyrone or Armagh could go through directly to the quarterfinal ahead of Galway. So that's, although Galway do have a much better scoring difference at the moment. So there's none of them really showing way out ahead, I suppose. But that's no surprise because there isn't that much of a difference. But Frank mentioned Glenn Ryan there. I mean, he some of the quotes, he mentioned, as you say, the word bewildered, but he also said, I don't think we worked hard enough. Now, if that's an indictment, I mean, if that's his assessment of it, then it suggests that all isn't that well in Kildare if they're not working hard enough. And you wonder why, what is going on? Because he said our problems are within the four walls of the dressing room. So, you know, make what you will of that, but it just doesn't sound all that encouraging, particularly with the match against Roscommon to come. And even if they do make the knockout stages, it's hard to see them surviving past the preliminary quarter final, whoever they get.
Yeah, Frank, they're very stark comments from Glenn Ryan. For a team that actually aren't eliminated yet, to kind of be that blunt and honest about your team's performances, maybe that'd be almost kind of an end of season debrief on the way out of the season.
Very much so, and in fairness, when you look at the last fixtures, there's a chance. I mean, that they won't actually even qualify. I mean, the perception out there is that Dublin will beat Sligo with something to spare. But you know what happens if Roscommon maintain their form and get a few early goals against Kildare, and they beat, you know, they could easily they could just as conceivably win and have as heavy a victory over Kildare on current form as Dublin maybe over Sligo, and in that scenario, Kildare would probably lose out in scoring difference. You know, so I mean, it had been. I would imagine Glenn Ryan's frustration doesn't just stem from maybe Saturday night or the previous match against Sligo, but this has been going on for most of the season. The one performance where they really bucked expectation and, you know, came like with a well-drilled plan and played with great tenacity was in the Leinster semi-final against Dublin. You know, they lost by 2 points and might have sneaked a victory like on that day. But you know, this is coming on the back of, you know, a very deflating league as well.
Bear in mind as well that they wouldn't even have been in the Sam Maguire tier if Offaly had beaten Louth, and they drew. So if Offaly got a late point, they'd now be playing their trade in the Tailteann Cup. So that's the reality of it as well. And now Sinch Gael Ella, because I don't think that would be right either. But it was that close, one point for Offaly and until they were Tailteann Cup bound.
Yeah, one team I'd like to get both of your opinion on is Kerry. And, you know, Joe Brawley was writing about their performance against Cork and the Sunday Independent and was very critical, basically saying they're a one-man team and that they're mediocre outside of David Clifford, that they would have lost on Saturday afternoon to a poor Cork team, as he said it. Like, you know, very kind of stark stuff from Joe Brawley. But, you know, is there anything to that, Frank? Have Kerry this season become even more reliant on David Clifford than they even were when they won the All-Ireland? Now, I know he's such a fantastic player that it's probably easy to look reliant on them at times, but at the same time, have they kind of stagnated a little bit around them?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, they've stagnated. And we mentioned, you know, where did this form come from? But it probably came from the league as well. And Jack O'Connor said at the outset, I think that, you know, Kerry weren't really going out to win the league this year. Now, whether that sent out a wrong signal or they were just behind the curve in terms of preparation in any event, but they lost, I think... four matches. I think they lost every away trip in the league. Were never, you know, weren't really ever in the shake up there to reach a final. They were really, really bad against Mayo. And this famed defensive system that helped them win the All-Ireland, allied, of course, to David Clifford and one or two others last year. I mean, that was nowhere to be seen in Killarney against Mayo that day. Now, even against Cork on Saturday, They were tighter, but they weren't watertight. I mean, Stephen Sherlock got through for a late goal chance. And if he'd scored, you know, it's conceivable that Cork could have come and might even have come with a kind of grandstand victory charge.
on the day. And the other thing is, if you look at their table now, if Kerry lose to Louth the last day, and no one expects that to happen, but if they do, chances are they're out of the championship. They would lose out to Louth on a head-to-head. And if Cork get a result against Mayo, they're definitely gone. If Cork only lose narrowly to Mayo, it looks like Kerry could lose out in scoring difference. So, I mean, it's a bad state of affairs that Kerry are coming to the last round, and they could go out unless one or two or several more players, you know, come back to the levels they were playing at last year. And I think, in summary, the biggest issue they have, apart from the difficulty lots of teams have in defending Sam Maguire other than Dublin, is that they haven't unearthed really top-grade quality players to supplement what was there last year.
Yeah, Martin, what's your assessment of Kerry?
Well, first of all, Kerry, David Clifford is a genius. Maybe will be the best player we've ever seen. We don't know, but he's a genius, and in 2021, Kerry would have been All Ireland champions if David Clifford was playing in the extra time against Tyrone. And just as last year, I think if Conor Callaghan had been playing, that Dublin would be All Ireland champions. So these are the narrow little they'd have beaten Kerry in that semi final, I think, and probably won the final as well. So it isn't as if Kerry were miles ahead of anybody else, and it's far from it. And but having said that, the thing about Kerry is, and we've seen it before, and we go back to 2009, for instance, when they had come through the qualifiers, and Longford ran them close, Sligo ran them even closer. They were in trouble against Antrim, and there was trouble in the camp and the whole lot. They came to the All-Ireland quarterfinal against Dublin, who were raging hot favourites, lost, and suddenly Kerry turned it on, won by 17 points. So they'll beat Louth next week, they'll get in there, and they'll still be. There's no sign they've improved, but will they have to improve to retain the All-Ireland? Who knows? Have the others improved? That we don't know either. But they're certainly not. There's nothing special about them other than David Clifford. That's a fact. But and the same applies to all the others as well. That there's no outstanding team out there. Then that Kerry haven't kicked on, we could say, but they may not need to kick on. We'll see later. But I'd be silly, Vanta, I think, to start writing off Kerry once the championship gets to the knockout stages. At the moment, it's skirmishing and no knockout. And when the knockout comes, I think they'll be different.
I think the fascinating thing, Will, would be if, like, it looks like, in fairness, Kerry are not going to top the group, almost certainly. And either at probably not a preliminary quarterfinal stage, but there is the potential for a blockbuster quarterfinal there. You know, we could have Kerry drawn against Dublin, for argument's sake. Kerry v Mayo. Well, it can't be Mayo, Kerry v Mayo. Kerry v Galway, you know. And that could be the moment that, you know, kickstarts Kerry's season. But either way, because they're not going to top their group, there is the potential for, you know, at least one really, really juicy quarterfinal, and probably two. And in fairness, at that stage, if we get a few very good matches in Croke Park, you know, the doom and gloom around the football championship might lift for a few fleeting weeks at least.
Well, there's a strong possibility, Frank, that the two All-Ireland winners or the All-Ireland winners the last 2 years will be in the preliminary quarterfinals. I mean, Kerry and Tyrone. That's highly probable that both of them will be there in the preliminary. And I suppose it does add a little in the sense that, you know, you're straight out. They go from the last round into the preliminary quarterfinal into the quarterfinal, isn't it? It's 3 weeks in the trot, isn't it? So there is an advantage, no doubt at all, in topping the group. Kerry won't be doing that now, but that'll be testing for for those counties. But certainly, it looks as if the two All-Ireland winners, the last 2 years will be in the preliminary quarterfinals as opposed to the quarterfinals. Whether it matters in the long run is another matter, of course.
Well, on paper, it does seem to be, you know, if you get the extra week's rest to, you know, progress straight through to the last eight. I know it's probably not the most exciting way to sell the 24 matches, as we mentioned, to eliminate four teams, but it could ultimately be quite significant. As you said, Frank, like carrying the preliminary quarterfinals, there could be a tough, you know, maybe they could have to play Armagh potentially in that preliminary quarterfinal. I know Armagh's form line isn't great, but, you know, potentially it's not an easy preliminary quarterfinal. It's not one you'd maybe tick them straight through to the last eight already. So there could be, you know, a few shocks still to come before we even get to Croke Park.
Well, I suppose this is the other reason why it's important for teams, if they have a chance, maybe not to top the group, but to finish second rather than third you know, on the weekend after next, because, you know, if you finish second, at least you've got a home preliminary quarter final. And, you know, if Kerry were to sleepwalk their way into third place in the group, and suddenly they're facing a, you know, a trip to the, you know, the athletic grounds, for argument's sake, or even Healy Park, then people will be saying, oh my God, like, where are we going with this? And you get through that, but even if you get through that battle, then you're out in a quarter final a week later. So that's where a small enough level of jeopardy, but that's where the jeopardy is for teams who, you know, who don't impress during these group stages.
Yeah, I'd love a Kerry Tyrone preliminary quarter final in Healy Park. With sign me up for that. That one right away. That would certainly get people's interest flowing. Martin, is there any other teams in a positive or negative way that have caught your eye over the first two rounds of the All Ireland series that you were expecting more from, or that you're, you know, pleasantly surprised with how they've been going?
Well, I suppose on the negative side, we've discussed, I suppose Kildare would be the standout one that's not living up to what we thought they might do. On the, I suppose really, Galway and Mayo, once you get 100% two games, there isn't much more you can do. Cork, I suppose, will be pleasing over what they did against Kerry. They'll get into the preliminary quarterfinals. But other than that, Roscommon, of course, their performance against Dublin was perhaps the standout performance in a way of the thing. So coming to Croke Park and getting a draw, and in the manner in which they got it, I think it was even more significant that they 2 points down and looked at that's it now, that Dublin will close it out. So I think they were impressive. Elsewhere, Louth, for instance, have done well. I mean, they're after two games, they have no points, admittedly, but, you know, their scoring difference is only minus three, and that's from playing Cork and playing Mayo. Unfortunately, it won't be enough for them, but they could be happy enough with what they're in. I think that I've taken that at the start. It was unlikely they'd win any game, but that they're, after the Leinster final, they've been extremely competitive. Westmeath, I suppose, again, very disappointed they didn't take something out of the Armagh game, and very good for three quarters last Saturday against Galway. But the Armagh game, I suppose, the disappointment for them, they didn't at least take a point, which would have been a real boost for them. But overall, I suppose, with Mayo and Galway, the only two on 4 points in two games, unusual as well, I suppose, two teams would be on 4 points, but they would be happy enough in what they've seen. Even yesterday with Mayo and Louth, I mean, they could have got caught in the end, but they didn't, and that's all that counts. At the end of it all, when this is, and this day forward, we're discussing this, all that matters is the final table, and Mayo will be top of the table, of their table at that stage.
Yeah, Frank, it was probably an important day for Derry yesterday as well. Like, a paper maybe looked like a tricky trip to Ballybuffet, considering Donegal got off the mark with a victory, and especially Derry drawing with Monaghan, obviously, you know, Rory Gallagher stepping aside, there was a lot of uncertainty. But to kind of restate maybe their All-Ireland credentials with quite an emphatic victory yesterday, does that push them back towards the top of that conversation for you, or more than maybe before the match?
Well, probably more so. It definitely pushes them back into the conversation. What was notable now, I only got to see the highlights late last night coming back from Clonus, but was, you know, we saw some of those evolving Derry traits that can make them so dangerous, is how good they are on the counter-attack. You know, the speed with which they break from defence. And I mean, all three goals basically stem from defenders, basically attacking at pace through the middle. The third one was from a turnover. You know, between McCluskey and McKinless setting up the three goals. I mean, they looked back in the zone. They scored, was it 3:14, I think, or something like that, while Shane McGuigan was held to a point from play. So that has to be a positive. Now, again, Donegal, despite their victory over Clare, and probably an improved performance for, you know, 55, 60 minutes, yesterday, you know, they're no longer really in the All-Ireland conversation. So we probably have to see the real litmus test of Derry yet. But in fairness, some people might have expected that, I won't say they'd unravel, but, you know, they just wouldn't be quite the same force with all the upheaval, change of manager mid-season. But there've been very few indications of that so far. I'd say less positively, I would say, is Armagh. I mean, Armagh, even though they will probably advance, have been a disappointment so far. I mean, the Westmeath game, I saw a line this morning say they were always going to win it, even though they left late. They weren't always going to win it. I mean, they were staring into the abyss with a few minutes left there. And the goal that basically won that game for them had a large element of luck. It was Rian O'Neill taking a pot shot for a point that fell short, and Andrew Murnan got a vital flick on it to set up the goal for Conor Turbitt. But, do you know, otherwise they would have lost that game. And then even against Tyrone, while they created goal chances, there was an awful lot of the kind of this passive play that we've seen them from, where they basically retreat back to their own 45 and don't engage the opposition until that point. And in a way, you know, Tyrone picked them off because of that. And they're going to be without Rian O'Neill the next day because of, you know, a really stupid sending off as well. So, I mean, they have not pushed on as some people might have thought they would.
Yeah, it seems a long time since that cracking quarterfinal and that game in Croke Park against Dublin in the league when they were really tearing them apart. They looked to be the coming team with a great kind of cut and thrust up front as well, but that seems to have fallen a bit by the wayside as well. Martin, before we finish up, we might just quickly look at the Tailteann Cup as well. I suppose it's even more kind of in the shadows when you have so much Sam Maguire matches on every weekend, but any teams in that in particular that have caught your eye that you're interested to see how they've been doing or playing?
Well, Cavan, I mean, Cavan lost the final last year, and I think they're determined to make amends, if you like, this year and give themselves the option of getting into the Sam Maguire tier in the event of not making it via the Ulster Championship or the league. They have a top of their group, 31, three games with a scoring difference of plus 31. Meath top the group, scoring difference of plus 22, and Antrim topping their group plus 23. So they're the three teams I think that would have stand up. But Cavan definitely, I think, Cavan would probably do better than some of the teams in the Sam Maguire tier. I think they will be absolutely flat out to win it this year, because being in Ulster, getting to an Ulster final is very difficult. They'll now come up to Division 2. That'll be difficult, because as we saw, Meath didn't get in, and though they finished they didn't make it out of Division 2. Neither indeed supported Clare or Limerick. Well, Clare made it via a different route, but they wouldn't have made it via the league. So Cavan will be very determined, I think. They're the ones I'd be looking to and saying, I think they will be, they're shaping up to me like likely winners.
Yeah, Frank, I'll give you the last word then. Anything Tailteann Cup related that's been jumping out to you from the last couple of weeks?
Well, see, in a way, yeah, it's not just a battle for who's going to win it. And I agree with Martin that Cavan, I think, are the standout team. I mean, they will probably feel that they let victories slip through their grasp against Westmeath, you know, last summer, that, you know, at one stage they definitely had the winning of that game. But the one actually team that strikes me is Carlow, because for the last year or two, you know, people would have been looking at Carlow as arguably one of the weakest teams in Division 4. You know, the Carlow Rising was a kind of a long forgotten brief era there of 4 or 5 years ago when there was all positivity around the county. But they've beaten Wicklow, who had a very impressive year to date. And they followed up with a great comeback against Longford there over the weekend. So they've already qualified for the prelim quarterfinals, but they've also taken out two Leinster teams who would have been seen at their level or maybe even slightly, you know, who had crept above them in the last few years. So you know, so it's not like I don't think Carlow are going to win it, but they will come out of this second tier championship this year feeling way more positive about themselves than several other counties, I would say.
Yeah, one of the good news stories of the last few weeks for the moment. I'd like to thank Frank and Martin for joining me on this week's episode of the Throwing Football Podcast. We will be back next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.
This is an Irish Independent Podcast.